looking at the future, what it holds for him, what he has not gotten to yet in his life. And so he's gone through this entire process, and he's come to a conclusion and realized that he's not reached maturity yet. He knows that there's more for him. And we talked a little bit about that maturing process. The word teleos is used in the Greek, and it means to be full age. And it's an ongoing process. You never really reach total maturity in life until the day you leave this world. And that's particularly true with the believer in the spiritual realm. There's always areas that you need to grow in, and Paul realizes that. He's looked at it very carefully. The process that he went through is found in the word logizomai, and I gave that to you last week. It's the word to count. We get our English word logic from that noun of that word logizomai. It means to count or to reckon or to reason. All those words are used in the New Testament to describe that particular process. For instance, in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, Paul says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present age are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The word reckon there is this word logizomai. And you think about it. It's also found, for instance, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. If you want to turn over there, if you're in Philippians, just to look at it very quickly. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. The little phrase, the little words, think on, is this word logizomai. And it means to reason through, to think through, to come to an understanding. I have told you this before, and I'll tell it to you again. I do not apologize for repeating it. But Christianity is a thinking man's religion, if you please. And in the right way, I use that word religion. You really need to think. You need to really know and understand what the Scriptures reveal to us. And it takes a thought process. You can't sit down and read through it and come to some conclusion about this and reason through it. This is a spiritual book, and it takes the Spirit to teach us and to guide us into the truth. And then you have to sit and you have to think about it. And how does it reflect on my life? Now, that's what Paul has been doing. He's looked at the truth of his life. He's reflected back over his past. He's looking at the future. And he says, I've come to a conclusion. The past he looked at, and what did he think about the past? What did he count it as? Dung. It was worthless. He looked at the future, and all he saw in the future was that there were things that he has to do yet in his life, and he hasn't gotten there yet. We need to do that. So you need to think. See, there's a lot of, I don't want to say churches, but there's a lot of Christians who think that it has to do with what's on the outside. When I came here, and it's been a long time, but when I came here, and some of you, I don't know if there's anyone here this morning that was here when I came. I think maybe Elam and Betty were here. I remember it was in the auditorium over there, and I had a row of ladies. Do you remember the little ladies that sat there? And I'll never forget it. They had their little bonnets on, and they were all dressed up, and they looked at me like, who is this guy coming into this church telling us? And I sort of won them over after a time, I think, you know. And the worst one was Katie Good. Katie did not like me. And she said, told me a number of times, I would have left the church, but this is where I grew up. But she came around to like me, believe it or not. That was a process that went on. But we changed things. I mean, the men came in their suits and ties. The ladies come with their little bonnets or their hats, and they're all dressed up on Sunday, and all the little kids came all dressed up. And I can remember, and some of you will remember John Hausman, not many of you, but a couple of you will remember John Hausman. John Hausman was from the Hells Angels. And John came to know the Lord, and I met him. And one Sunday morning, he came in the church. He had his beard, long hair, a big chain on his side, and a black leather jacket. And he walked down, and we're being attacked by outer space people. And You have to know John, and I learned to love him, and he's left the area many years ago, and every once in a while I get a note from him, he's still witnessing for Christ and still loves the Lord. But it was just interesting to see that transition that takes place. And one of the things that I tried to change is that Christianity is not so much what you look like on the outside, but it's what's inside that counts. And it's how you think that counts. And when you begin to think properly, then your conduct will follow that. Because Proverbs tells us, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if I can change your thinking a little bit, then you will change your actions. If I change your actions, it doesn't necessarily mean I've changed your thinking. And you can change your actions, and if you're only working on your actions, then it's a religion. When I change your thinking, it becomes a relationship. And I'm concerned with changing not your... I want you to change your conduct, don't misunderstand, but I want it to be in the right way. It has to begin with your thinking. And so as I present the truth to you, I hope it begins to change your view of life and your values in life. I was telling my Sunday school class this morning that their values will change. It changes in the world. You change automatically change your values. When you're a child, you think about childish things. I often tell my high school class, if I could move you back 6 years from, these kids are 15, 16 years old, if I can move you back to when you were 9 or 10 years old, what was your interest? Well, they were Barbie dolls and cars and things that you play with. Now, your interest, how many of you still have your Barbie dolls that you play with every day? Well, none of them do. None of them have their little cars anymore. Their values change. And it has to do with how they think now. And Christianity is that way. It will, when you change your thinking, when you understand the truth, it begins to have an impact upon your life. Now, Paul thought about his life. He went through the process. I want you to go through the process. Evaluate your life. Look at where you're at today. Look at what's past in your life and then move on. That's so important. That's what Paul did. I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't reached, I haven't done all that God has called me to do yet. He called me to witness to kings and to Israel and to the Gentiles. And I've done all those things, but there's more for me to do. And so, as he thought about it, he looked at this thing. We looked last week, and he says, but there's one thing. There's one thing. One thing yet left. And that is to forget the things that are past. That's not the one thing. That is something, but that is not. We want to look at that this morning. Last week we had problems. Let's see if I got it this week, all right? Forgetting. I told you that word is epilantonomai. And it comes from the Greek word lantano, which means to be hidden without knowing, to hide something without knowing. I do that all the time. I put stuff away so I don't remember where it's at. Guess what? I can't find it. I don't know where it's at. It's terrible. Anyway, Paul is a master at forming words, by the way. He really, when you go through the New Testament, some words that you find are only used one time, and you don't find them outside of the New Testament. Because he combined words together to try to emphasize something to people. And so, in this case, Lantano, he adds the words, first of all, he adds the words epi before it. And epi means upon or over. And sometimes you add to a word to intensify the meaning of the word. And forgetting, he's very emphatic about the forgetting. Forgetting those things that are past. Now, there are two basic ways in which it was used. The first is to forget in the sense of not recalling. The second is to recalling the information concerning something. I just can't remember. The other is to neglect or give little attention to. I just didn't pay any attention to you. You know what I mean? That's the idea that it's used. I'm going to give you a series of them, of these, and I want to ask you to do some work this morning. Before I do, I was reading the paper. I read the important parts of the paper. And Marvin, I don't know if you saw this little one on last week, but Marvin is driving, and he says to his wife, We have to go back home. I forgot something. And she said, what? He says, I can't remember. Now, that's funny, but it's real in my life, and that it hurts. I just forget. I can't remember. And Paul says, you've got to forget. Now, I'm going to give you a series of verses. So we're going to go through them. By the way, it's a present middle, and which means that it's a constant thing. It's going on all the time, and I do it myself. I'm forgetting those things which are past. And the present tense shows it's linear action or continuous action. I constantly forget about the things that are past, and we'll look at that again. The Septuagint uses it 98 times. Paul uses it, well, not Paul, but the New Testament writers use it 8 times. And I want to go through these verses with you. So you want to turn to Matthew chapter 16, verse 2 with me very quickly. Some of them are duplications in the gospel, but I just to ask you the questions very quickly. Matthew chapter 16, verse 52. Did I have that? 52 is not right. Verse 5. Not 52. The 2 is on there for a reason, but that's not the reason. And the disciples came to the other side and had forgotten to take bread. Now, let me ask you, let me back up one or two. Which one of those, which idea is conveyed in that idea in Matthew? They forgot to take bread. Is it the first one or the second one? What do you think? Second? Could it be possibly the first too? Just didn't recall that they were supposed to take anything either. I mean, they didn't know where they were going. They just didn't reason through it. But they didn't give any attention to it either. So it really could be both, all right? It could be both in that case. Mark chapter 8, verse 14. Don't turn there. It's the same. It's one of the Gospels, and they're recording the same story. So don't turn there. Let me go back to those again. In Luke chapter 12, I want you to turn to that one. Luke chapter 12 and verse 6. And here's the verse. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 cents, and yet not one of them is forgotten before God? Now, which one is it? 1 or 2? I should have put these back up again, but which is it? 1 or 2? What do you think? Anybody? Let's hear it. 2, right. It would be 2. God certainly doesn't neglect them. He gives his full attention to them, and not one of them would fall to the ground that he doesn't know about. You know, he even has the hairs of your head numbered. And not one of them falls out that he doesn't know about. And I've reminded you over and over again, when he says they're numbered, he has them numbered. This is number right here. If I can get one strand, that's probably number, I don't know, 7,320. And this one's 550. And not one of those falls out. And he says, oh, there goes number 500. Some of you have done pretty well. Some of you haven't done too well. But he does not. By the way, that word there is a perfect participle with the present tense of the verb I me, and it's a paraphrastic, a perfect paraphrastic, which means that he didn't forget it in the past. He didn't neglect it in the past, and it emphasizes that even in the present time, he still hasn't forgotten it. And he's emphasizing right now, I remember them. I have not neglected them. The sparrows are not neglected by the Lord. Are you more valuable than the sparrow to the Lord? Do you think that he neglects you one bit? Sometimes you feel that. Where are you, Lord? What are you doing in my life? I mean, do you understand what's happening? He hasn't forgotten you. And he's given you truth to deal with this any circumstance in your life. He's given the truth to Steve Richardson. He's given the truth to the Matos to deal with this situation. And whatever situation you're in, he's given you the truth to deal with it. Life, death, heartache, pain, spots in the lungs. He's given you truth to deal with it. our problem is that we don't give enough attention to the truth, and we don't believe the truth. God does not neglect us in one bit. He knows exactly what He's doing in your life. He's planned it for your life. He wants to work it for good in your life, and He will do that. And while He's working it for good in your life, He's also working it in other people's lives. Don't you ever forget that. You do not stand in this world by yourself. See, that's what's so important about a body like we have. You are important to everyone else in this room. And when something happens to you, it affects all of us. Good and bad. And so it's so important you understand that. Let's move on very quickly. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 10. For God is not unjust. Well, you can turn there. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and love which you have shown towards His name in having ministered and is still ministering to the saints. Which is that? Number one or number two? That's Hebrews, I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. I'm jumping back and forth here, and I should have written those down. Is it number 1 or number 2? Let me read it again. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work. Does He have to recall it? Or does He... It's in the negative. Does He neglect or give little attention to what you're doing? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Number two, it should be. You know what? I have number one down here. Number one. He does not forget to recall the information. I'm sorry, it's number one. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. You want to turn over there? Hebrews 13, 2. It's a little important one there. Because it forms a command to you and I. But it was particularly important to the Hebrews that Paul is writing to. And the reason I say that, it is a present imperative in the negative. Do not neglect is the word we have there. And in a present imperative with the negative, it means stop doing what you're doing. You're already in the process of doing it. You're neglecting it. Don't neglect it. All right? That's what he's communicating to them in Hebrews 13, verse 2. Do not neglect. Stop doing what you've been doing. Don't neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For by this some have entertained angels without knowing. So the Hebrews were neglecting as people were traveling in those days. They didn't have hotels and motels, and you would travel, and if you found a home, you'd knock on the door, and they would sometimes put you up for a night and feed you and then send you on your way. And this was particularly true in the body of Christ as believers were moving around, and they moved a lot in those days, and of course there was persecution and other things going on, so they were moving, and when they came to a home and they knocked on the door and they said, get away, we don't want to have anything to do with you. But I'm a Christian, I don't care, I don't have time for you. Paul says, stop doing that. Don't neglect hospitality. Turn one more, I have two more. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16 in that same passage. 13:16. Hebrews 13:16. Paul writes these words, and do not neglect doing good and sharing, for such sacrifices God is pleased. Now that is a present imperative, again in the negative. And he says, stop doing what you're doing. Do not. You are forgetting, so don't forget. Don't forget to do good works. Important. For such sacrifices, God is pleased. James chapter 1, verse 20. By the way, both of those are, I believe, number 2. You can question that one. In James chapter 1, verse 24. You want to turn over there? James 1, 24. This is an easy one, I think, for you to decide which it is. For once he looked at himself and gone away. He's looked in the mirror now. He's gone away. He immediately has forgotten what kind of person he was. Is it number one or number two? What do you think? Number one, yeah. He just... Go back. See, he just forgot not recalling the information. He looked at himself. He saw what he was. He walked away and he forgot. Mirror, mirror, who on the wall? Who's the fairest of them all? You know, and then he walks away and he forgot that what he was looking at was not very pleasant. We need to look. You see, God says that we need to forget the past. Now let me ask you, which one do you think that would be Paul referring to? Forgetting those things which are behind. Number one or number two? Let me ask you another question maybe to help you. Can you forget your past? Can you forget what you did when you were 20 years old? You may forget it for a while, but it comes back to you. I was at a reunion 2 weeks ago, Saturday last week, not yesterday, but a week ago, and I say it's fun, but we got back and we were recalling things that we did when we were in college, you know what I mean? And all this stuff came back. All this stuff came back. I told my wife, and I think I told you this, that she said, I wish I would have known you when you were in college. I said, no, you don't. And my friend said, no, you don't want to know him when he was in college either. You know, they said the same thing that I did. But I remember all those things. I remember the good things that happened to me and the bad things that happened to me. I remember the bad things I did and the good things I did. But you know what? I don't give it much attention. I don't give it much attention. And Paul's saying to us, or what he's done, is he says, this one thing, forgetting those things which are behind, I remember them. As a matter of fact, in verses 3 to verse 6, he just recalled all the things that some of the things that he did in the past. So he didn't forget them in the sense that he doesn't remember them anymore. It's just that he doesn't pay much attention to those things. Those things were dung. They were worthless. And so he moves on in his life. And that's the way you have to look at life. You don't want to live in the past. You don't want to live in the future. I said there's two ways to live your life. If you live it in the past, probably you begin to feel guilty about it. I when I was thinking about the things that I did when I was in college, I started to feel guilty. I mean, I'm a different person today. Someone asked me, when did you change? I said, when I was born again. Because I'm a different person today than I was back then. I haven't forgotten them. I still know them. But I don't give them any attention anymore. I'm not going to concentrate on those things. I'm not going to worry about the things that I did in the past. I did some terrible things in the past. I'm going to move on with my life. Paul did some terrible things in his life. But he's going to move on. Forgetting those things which are past. The things that are behind, actually, is that what it says, the things that are behind? Forgetting those things which are, verse 13, forgetting those things which are behind. Actually, those are just three words. Let me move in future here a little bit. Forget what? Well, the things that are behind. Actually, those are three words. Te men o piso. Te means it's a definite article, it's a neuter. And again, as I've mentioned to you so often, the Greek could use a definite article, and you would have to add a noun to it. And so he used the word things, the things. Men means indeed, or truly, or certainly, or surely. Opizo means the things back or behind or after. And so you would translate indeed the things behind. That is the victories in life, the failures in life, the things that you did in the past that you're not proud of, the things that you did were good. Forget those things. Today is a new day. You start new today. You want to move on from the day into the future. So Paul is now, forget those things that are behind, forgetting those things, the victories and the failures. Dwight Pentecost has a little book out called The Joy of Living, and it's a commentary on Philippians. And he writes these words about, concerning this leaving behind. He said, Paul has left behind him across the Roman world a string of established churches, shining as lights in the darkness. That's his good things. He said, the Roman world has the light of the gospel through these believers who stretch from Jerusalem all the way westward to Spain. Paul could have become complacent, feeling his work is done because of the churches that he's already established. Paul could look at that which he suffered, and he did suffer a lot, and conclude that he had suffered enough. The saints would have agreed with him. Over and over again, companies of saints waited upon the Apostle Paul as he journeyed toward Jerusalem and urged him not to go to Jerusalem because they knew that it would involve physical suffering. But Paul pressed on. Paul could not look back on everything he has experienced and say, it's enough. I will withdraw from the race. I mean, I've gone through enough. But Paul says, I must forget the things that are behind. Sometimes the blessing of God can lull us into complacency and indifference. Now let me repeat that to you. Sometimes the blessings of God could lull us into complacency and indifference. We feel that we have earned our right to take our ease and to turn over to others the running of the race. We view ourselves as competitors in a mile relay, in which we are called upon to run a part of the distance and then to turn the baton over to someone else and let him continue. Paul's concept is that he is in the race until the Lord Jesus Christ brings him to himself. So it's all over. That's how we have to look at life. Then and only then will the goal be reached. We must be aware lest accomplishments and blessings cause us to withdraw from the race. It is also true, he writes, that if we are to reach the goal, we must forget failures that may be in the past. Failures can discourage. We start out to run the trip and fall, and so we give up. We conclude that we're not cut out for the race and are content to let someone else run. Failures can bring preoccupation with self just as much as blessings or attainment can. Preoccupation with self can bring discouragement that could cause us to retire from the race, retire before the race is finished. The apostle says, I must forget those things that are behind. Now, can I tell you that Paul also must forget his sins? Failures, as far as he suffered failures. I mean, he ended up in jail. He's been beaten for the gospel and the victories that he had over those things. But he also had sin. The things that he wanted to do, he didn't do. The things that he didn't want to do, those are the things he found himself doing. There was sin in Paul's life. But he must not go back and relive them. We are to confess them and then forget them. We are to move on. Today's a new day. They were forgiven and forgotten at the cross. You must leave them there. If you don't leave them behind, they will weigh you down. You remember that we talked about the weight that so easily doth beset us, the failures and the successes in life. Be very careful. Listen to what David, will you turn to Psalm 32 with me, Psalm 32. David writes these words, blessed is he, this is verse 1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. I remind you that our sins are not covered, they're removed from us as far as the east is from the west. They're forgiven and forgotten. Blessed is, that's for us. David's living in before the cross. He said, blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silence, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into drought of summer, Selah. But you see, there's relief. We all have relief. And David recognized that. Notice the last verse. I acknowledge my sin unto you. My iniquities have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sins. Selah. There's nothing that you've done in the past that God hasn't forgiven. There's nothing that you can do in the future that God hasn't already forgiven you. Don't live in the past. Don't live in the past. Move on with your life. If you are holding on to things in your past, you know that they're not doing you any good. They're weighing you down. They're harming you. Now, these can be good things as well as bad things. We read that from Pentecost, that little paragraph. The good things, the successes that you've had in your Christian life, the things that God has done in your life, and they've been great victories in your life. You can go back and keep remembering those things, and it's not doing you any good today. Or you could have done some terrible things in your past. Some of you have been abused. Some of you have been abusers. Some of you have done some raunchy things in the past. They're all taken care of. You can forget them. Don't carry them with you. I know Christians who are still carrying something that they've had in the past, and it weighs them down, and they lose what they have today. I said there's two ways to live your life. You can look back at the past and feel guilty, or you can look into the future and worry about things. And if you're looking back and have guilt, or you're looking in the future and you're worrying, you're missing what God is doing now. Now, what's God doing now? What's happening in your life now? There's where you need to concentrate. Listen to what Paul said. Let me read this to you. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 9 to 11. Don't turn there. We don't have time. My time is up. I'll finish with this. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. See, they did some bad things. Such were some of you. But you are washed, you have been sanctified, you have been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. God has done a work in your life. Don't live in the past. Move on. Don't let those things weigh you down. Don't let those things harbor in your or fester in your life and miss what God is doing today. Don't worry about the future. Don't worry about the future. God has everything in control. Everything. Father, we thank you for that. Thank you that you know us, you know our frame, you know our minds, you know our thoughts, you know our imaginations. You know everything about us. Father, help us to forget the things that are past, the victories, the failures, the sins, the good deeds that we've done. Father, we can't live on those. We have to live in the present. And Paul says this one thing, forgetting those things that are past. May we forget the past. May we look at what you're doing now in our lives. How important it is for us to come to a place where the present is important to us. What you're doing for us right now. So, Father, today we thank you for the opportunity we've had to be together. Thank you for your word. Pray that you would take it and press it upon our minds, that our thinking might change. That we might know that you're working in our lives to accomplish your good will. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.